Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 to 23. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but if not my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings.
Today's gospel reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons.
We acknowledge a small technical glitch that required much of the content to be re-recorded at home and then edited into this sermon. Thanks to some remarkable editing skills, you probably won't even notice the edits.
Have you seen the social media clip of the mom in the pantry? I think she's known as Pantry Mom. It's cute. There's a lady talking to her camera while she eats red licorice, hidden in the closet, confessing that sometimes she just goes in there to get away. It turns out that she's a mother of three-year-old quadruplets. You can hear them running and playing outside the pantry door. "Mom? Mom? Mommy?" The mom aims the camera down at the floor where little fingers are wiggling at the base. and a teensy face appears. Hello. She knows where they are. She knows they are safe. But, she confesses, sometimes she just needs a break.
My dad was ordained into ministry when I was 12. And my family, so that's myself, my three brothers, my mom, my dad, and my grandpa, were sent to the pastoral charge that had the largest manse available at the time. So we went to South River, up on Highway 11, just north of Huntsville. And as we settled into our new home, as we settled into our life there, a tradition started up for us. A tradition began to develop. Just after church, I would run home. And now our church was just like 6 feet away from the manse. So just after church, I would come home and I would grab a big slice or a big loaf of sliced bread. I'd get a whole bunch of cheese and just start slicing it up and make grilled cheese for all of us. As I was cooking, brother after brother, mom and dad, grandpa, and often friends would come through the door. So in today's gospel reading from Mark, we notice that we're still in the very first chapter of it. In a few short verses, John the Baptizer has appeared, baptizing and proclaiming forgiveness. Jesus himself has been baptized and gone through his 40 days in the wilderness. Simon and Andrew have left their fishing nets. James and John have left their fathers somewhere in a fishing boat out on the Sea of Galilee. Lots has happened already. And yet we're still at the very beginning of Mark's telling of the good news. From the seashore, Jesus and Simon and Andrew and James and John went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, they went to the synagogue. This, at the synagogue, is where Jesus' ministry begins in Mark. He teaches there, and then, as we learned in Norm's sermon last week, he freed a man of an unclean spirit. Now, in today's gospel reading, worship is over, and they head over to Simon and Andrew's house. It must have been a fairly large house, or I think at least a big household. Simon and Andrew both live there. Simon is married. Maybe Andrew is too. This home could include at least two families. And we know from the story that Simon's mother-in-law is there as well. So they come home after worship. Jesus is looking forward to a bit of a break after a very dramatic morning. We can practically smell the grilled cheese in the air. But when they get there, they find out that Simon's mother-in-law is sick. She is in bed with a fever, and they tell Jesus about her at once. Jesus comes and takes her by the hand. He lifts her up, and miraculously, she is healed. For Mark, this is directly connected to what just happened in the synagogue. There in the synagogue, earlier that day, Jesus delivered a man from an unclean spirit that had a hold on him. Here in this home, Jesus heals a woman who is very sick with a fever. Just as the unclean spirit left the man, so the fever leaves her. And then she has a nice, restful Sabbath afternoon, quiet in bed, knowing that there is a household full of capable adults ready to look after Jesus and each other. And that's the end of the story. Here's the problem I have with Mark, with this whole little scene that should be quite beautiful. Jesus came and took her by the hand and he lifted her up, and then the fever left her, and she began to serve them? She what? This poor woman has just been in bed with a fever. Now she gets up and serves them? Is that why Jesus healed her? So that Simon and the boys could have their grilled cheese sandwiches? Okay, I don't know that it was grilled cheese. I don't know whether serving them meant that she was cooking for them at all. But the woman has just been sick. Give her a break. Let her sleep. The problem I have with Mark is that it's hard not to read indignation onto the scene. Indignation for a woman put upon and seemingly reduced to her ability to serve the man and the men who surround her. The problem I have with Mark is that too often I have heard passages like these used to make a case for a woman's place being in the home, the helpmate, right and properly in service. I have heard it at church. I have heard it at Bible college. I have heard remnants of these ideas in jobs, in studies, in friendships. Is that what we have here? The ideal woman, a template for other women to follow and learn from? From a modern critical perspective, it is hard to read this story without cringing at the idea of the woman who gets up and serves. From an emotional perspective, from a personal perspective, it is hard not to read indignation and resentment or even shame onto the story. But then I hear her voice. That's not what's going on here. That's not what this is about. You know Jesus better than that. Look again. We are coming close to Lent, the time for us to get ready for Easter. 40 days recalling Jesus's 40 days in the wilderness. The Spirit drove him out there. Mark tells us three things that happened while he was in the wilderness. One, he was tested by Satan. Two, he was with the wild beast. And three, the angels waited on him. It's that third part that's important today. The angels waited on him. That phrase can accurately be translated as the angels ministered to him. And then the story of Simon's mother-in-law is the same. The fever left her and she began to minister to them. And then later in Mark, Jesus will say the same of himself. The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. You may have heard it as not to serve, but to serve. In Mark chapter 1, we are in the beginning moments, the very first day of Jesus' ministry, and this is what it looks like. He teaches, he frees a man from an unclean spirit, and he heals this woman. She, in turn, ministers to him and to those who are with him. This is not a moralistic story on the role of woman. This is a healing. Not only is it a healing, it is an ordination. She has been raised to ministry. She comes close to Jesus and responds to healing by getting up and ministering. If she is a template, she is a template for all of us, and her ministry invites us to know Jesus as healer, and then to wonder what healing might look like for us, and out of healing, to become ministers to others. Her ministry echoes the ministry of the angels, and it points us towards the work that Jesus will do. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed by demons, and the whole city gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. So much of Jesus' ministry comes down to these moments of him taking someone's hand, healing them or freeing them and calling them into life. And he will go from Capernaum and he will continue to teach and call people as he heals them and ministers to them. We don't know what her ministry looked like beyond that day. We don't know what her ministry looked like in that moment. But we do know so many people like her, don't we? People who know that a jar full of soup can feed the soul and the tummy. Others who live out their ministry by cooking up a storm and inviting their neighbors and community to share it. People who know that giving a hand or doing personal care or providing a home, applying a band-aid, offering a listening ear, coming and sitting with a person on their own, treating an illness. People who know that all of these places, all of these actions are where love and gratitude are lived out. Parents and guardians who are deep in the ongoing work of raising young children and older children and guiding grown children. Caregivers trying their best, searching out every tool and resource to help them on the way. husbands caring for their husbands, wives caring for their wives, friends caring for each other, sons and daughters caring for their parents, brothers and sisters caring for each other as well. All of us in different ways engaged in the work of ministry. You know, and I know, that it is hard work. It is complex. Sometimes it seems impossible. Sometimes we struggle with our attitudes in the midst of it. Sometimes we've come to the end of our own wisdom. Often, it looks very different from our ideals or the ideas that we have about service. And yet, isn't it amazing? Here we are surrounded by ministers. Their ministry heals us and calls us into our own ministries. Jesus coming close, inviting us to respond and to wonder what ordination we might be raised to. We know ministers like Simon's mother-in-law. We are these ministers. This is our ordination. This is our loving response.
Loving God, resting or restored, awaiting or engaged in your call to ministry, we give thanks for your intimacy and your closeness. You are so close. We are so intimate in relationship that we can see the world through your eyes, if we dare. We see such beauty in the lives that you have created, in all of the life. From the grass that lies dormant in winter to the crops that flourish around the world, feeding your children, our family. From the animals that run free in open spaces to the pets that companion and sustain us. Let us walk gently on this planet and find ways that sustain and serve all that you have created. God, we see the beauty in the face of a stranger and wish to aid in any struggle that they may have for food, for peace, for security, for dignity. Let us not be opportunists when we see those who struggle, but let us rise from our stupor and serve them. God, we try to see our sibling in the enemy, but sometimes we need your help. These days, so many are presented to us as enemies. Look out, beware, hate, despise. God, we need your love to give us the courage, to give us the courage to love when it would be easier to despise. We need your love to open our hearts when it would be easier to remain closed and self-assured. God, let us be daring and equip us to love all of your creation, not just the familiar and the favorite. God, let us be sustained and led by your Holy Spirit to see the world anew and to engage hopefully where before we might have turned away. Immanent God, who is expressed and experienced in spirit, let that same spirit that opens us to your creation open us to ourselves. We wish to be whole and hopeful, and so we ask for healing and strength. We seek your presence and guidance as we make the choices that best shape our lives and the life of our community. God, let us forgive and be forgiven. Let us accept and embrace. Let us be courageous and brave. Let us be loving. Let us serve. We pray in the Holy Spirit and in the words of Jesus, who taught us to say,
Our Father.
Our Mother.
Who art in heaven.
Who art in all the earth.
Hallowed be thy name.
Holy is your truth.
Thy kingdom come.
May your wisdom come.
Thy will be done on earth.
Your circle be one uniting.
As it is in heaven.
Heaven and earth.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us today a nurturing spirit.
And forgive us our trespasses.
Heal through us as we.
As we forgive those who trespass.
Ourselves are healed.
Against us. Lead us not into temptation.
Lead us into fullness of life.
But deliver us from evil.
And liberate all that is good.
For thine is the kingdom.
For the wisdom.
The power and the glory.
Presence and goodness are yours.
Now and forever.
Amen.
And as you go into this day, as you go into this week, as you go into all that is waiting for you, may you know that God, who has stretched out the heavens as a home for you, that Jesus, who calls you into healing and calls you into service, that the Holy Spirit, who surrounds you each and every moment, goes with you this day, this moment, and each day. Amen.